Hi, and welcome to Zed Games. Recorded live at 4ZZZ Studios in Brisbane and broadcast nationally over the Community Radio Network, Zed Games brings you the latest gaming news, reviews and interviews from across Australia and around the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting episode of Zed Games, Australia's most beloved gamer radio show. Joining me in the studio for this episode, Razor Morgan witnessed the brutal slaying of his parents in the streets of Gotham and has since dedicated his life to fighting crime as the Batman.
My family is no longer safe from the villains.
Good thing they're already dead.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it's all good then.
Yes. Also joining me in the studio is the Batman's ward when Jodie McGregor witnessed his parents be brutally gunned down by gangsters in a circus. He was adopted by Razor Morgan and raised to fight crime as the boy wonder, Robin.
Yeah.
Jodie McGregor.
Hi, Lee. Hey, you know what's good about being Robin is you get to hang out with Batman.
Yeah.
But if you're Batman, you have to hang out with Robin.
Yeah.
So it sucks for you.
Yeah,
that does suck.
My parents actually moved away from Gotham because of the number of brutal family slayings that occurred. So, yeah, I'm from Metropolis. It's fine. It's great there, actually. It's really nice.
So why are you carrying on about all this Batman business, Lee? Is there a reason for this?
I just like Batman.
Yeah.
Oh, also, we've been playing the video game about Batman.
Yes, indeed we have.
Batman Arkham Origins.
Yep.
And we're going to be talking about that later on in the episode.
As well as that, Lee had the pleasure of talking to Chris Straub, who's a web cartoonist.
Mm-hmm.
He is coming to Australia for Symphony of Legends Video Games Unplugged, which is a huge video game themed event happening on November the 23rd at the Brisbane Convention Centre.
Yes.
Yep. Let's kick this episode of Zed Games off as usual with the Week in Gaming News headlines. Mr. Jodie McGregor.
Electronic Arts is the latest recipient of the unprestigious Shonky Award, the dubious honour which is awarded by Choice, Australia's largest independent consumer advocate, was given due to the fact that EA were charging nearly $2.50 a minute for technical assistance with the SimCity game via the telephone helpline when the technical difficulties were EA's responsibility. A spokesperson for EA has said that they agreed that this was not fair and are taking steps to rectify the situation. Yeah, that was only in Australia. In America, if you call the helpline, it's a free call. So people were getting around this by calling from Australia via Skype and calling the American number.
Yeah, that's clever, but you shouldn't have to do that.
No, ideally
especially when the server screw-ups are all EA's responsibility.
Game should have worked out of the box.
In more Electronic Arts news, EA has cancelled the upcoming Command & Conquer game and disbanded the development studio behind the title. Feedback from players who were involved with the closed alpha had been overwhelmingly negative, mainly due to the fact that the game had no single-player campaign and was being built with a strong emphasis on microtransactions. EA acknowledged that negative feedback from players and the community was the primary reason for cancelling the game and will be refunding any money spent in-game for the next 10 days. The game was previously scheduled for a 2014 release, and Electronic Arts has stated that they are still interested in creating a new Command & Conquer title.
I do think it's a little extreme that they should disband the development team working on the game, considering that the problems that they, you know, that were evident were probably, you know, a design delivered from on high. I think a lot of people lost their jobs for no real reason there, and that is unfortunate.
Yeah, that's a shame.
I remember Command & Conquer used to be a powerhouse of a franchise. If you're into RTS, I mean, you had Warcraft, then you had Command & Conquer. It's a shame that such an iconic franchise is going down this way.
Yeah.
And that there's a bit of that. Well, I think it's a greater shame that they were planning on turning it into some sort of multiplayer, microtransaction heavy crap game like that.
Yeah.
Instead of giving it the, you know, a decent, proper retail release like it deserves.
It's been a while, I guess, since Command & Conquer has been in the position that it used to occupy. I think, you know, any release now is sort of just heavily based on nostalgia for the game that never really was, too. So it would be cool to see that franchise properly resurrected. I'd like to see some further development in the RTS front because it's a gameplay style that has diminished over the years, and has that space has been taken up by, I guess, Dota-style things MOBAs and what have you.
Yep. Right, well, that's it for the news. Next up, we'll be hearing an interview that Lee conducted with Chris Straub.
Cartoonist and writer Chris Straub has been producing pictures and words for the internet for over a decade. Currently he draws the gag strip Chainsaw Suit and cosmic horror adventure Brood Hollow. In the past he has collaborated with Penny Arcade and Scott Kurtz of PvP, and in November he'll be co-hosting Symphony of Legends, Video Games Unplugged, a concert of gaming music performed by the Queensland Symphony Orchestra. Chris Straub, welcome to Zed Games.
It's always a treat. Always a treat to be here.
Wonderful. So how did you actually come to be associated with the Symphony of Legends program?
It was Andrew Pogson, who's actually with the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra. He ran the show last year, and other orchestras were interested in performing it, but he reached out to me and Scott Kurtz because of our association with Penny Arcade and gaming in general, and thought we would bring the appropriate touch of humor to this program. And at the time, it was very much about getting out of the way of the music and just kind of breaking it up a little bit. And that's what it will be once again here in November.
You and Paul Verhoeven of Steampunks will be just filling the stuff whilst the people tune their instruments and providing some light patter, that kind of thing.
I hope so. It'll be my first time working with him, and I understand he is an improvisational artist, perhaps a tier above me. I don't think he wants to work from an auto cue at all. And that's my crutch. I got to have those words in front of me.
Oh, really?
I'm horrible at speaking extemporaneously. Even this right here is pre-prepared.
So you've long been associated with webcomics that are gamer comics, but none of your work has really been explicitly about that. How did you get kind of roped into this? Was it just that they were like, you're doing stuff for for Penny Arcade and stuff with Scott Kurtz, and they were like, close enough?
Yeah, they were, it essentially says like, we can't get Mike and Jerry, so we're gonna get the two adjacent. I think that had a lot to do with it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, everybody who works out of that office is a gamer and considers themselves a connoisseur of the genre. Mm-hmm. And everybody enjoys video games on multiple levels. So, I mean, it's a topic of conversation that comes up.
Are you playing anything at the moment?
I've been playing through Grand Theft Auto V. I haven't had a lot of time lately. I was talking to somebody else about how little time I have to actually sit down. So games that appeal to me are much more like a first-person shooter where you can get in and, you know, spend 45 minutes with it and jump out. Mm-hmm. But I yearn for the days that I was able to play something like the Oblivion or you know, Morrowind, where you could spend a lot of time getting lost in an experience like that. Mm. But so lately it's been pretty much of a drought on the gaming front.
How are you finding Grand Theft Auto V? I saw your comment that you made that encountering, you know, your old high school friend that you thought was really funny, and then discovering that they were actually just really, really sexist and obnoxious the whole time.
Well, it's unfortunate because I am, you know, the gameplay is amazing as usual, but I feel like my pace has changed, and I so a lot of the writing and a lot of the content I'm not crazy about.
Yeah.
But it's the first thing that comes to mind when it's like, well, everybody else is playing it, and it does kind of let you jump in and jump out. So I've been wanting to give it more of a chance. It's rough going. It's rough going. I've been playing a lot of Saints Row 4 as well. I mean, as ridiculous as it is to say, I prefer that content. Still, there you are. I mean, There's similarity there.
I think Saints Row 4, though, seems like it has a lot more love in its construction. It's weird to say that about a game that is, you know, full of dildos and what have you and alien abduction, but it seems less cynical in its worldview.
Yeah, I agree with the level of absurdity in it, where it's kind of like the entire experience is already nodding at, we know this is ridiculous. Whereas Grand Theft Auto kind of tries to seem somewhat realistic, and yet you strive to create these moments that are really over the top. But you're right, I think it's actually a good descriptor for this. It seems more cynical. It seems more like all of the content is like the radio and the stuff like that, the billboard. It's like pointing out flaw after flaw in American culture.
Yes.
Which is flawed. I'm fine to explore that, but I also want to enjoy myself and not just be depressed.
Yeah, I think the problem that I have with it is that it's very critical, but it doesn't actually stand up for anything at the same time. It's just... It's a very adolescent attitude of everything sucks, but there's nothing that it actually thinks is genuinely good.
I ran into the expression or the term Poe's Law on the internet, which I hadn't run across, but the idea that satire that does not stray far enough from its source is indistinguishable from its source.
Mm.
So I don't know if players are like, oh, this is clearly a comment on sexism, or if they're like, oh, I'm sexist and this is right in my alley. I enjoy this. This is perfect.
You've just recently wrapped up the first season of your horror strip, Brood Hollow.
Mm-hmm.
And you've just, this week, I believe, started the new season, season 2. What can the audience expect from this season?
I'm realizing that I think the first Brood Hollow book, the first story, which also had a very successful Kickstarter, but not as successful as Mission of Death. It feels very standalone, and I'm very proud of it. And here, book two, my intent was always to produce a story that can be read by itself, but also contain continuity for people who have read all of what came before. And it's a tougher balance this time. But I'm just going to have to go harder. I got to go deeper. I think the first upsetting thing will come much earlier in this story. I think I paced it out last time because, as you know, the style of the strip is very simplistic and cartoony, and it's supposed to evoke like 1930s adventure serials like Tintin and that style of comic art. And then when it gets frightening, I kind of do it in a very painterly, realistic style to throw everybody off. But I think that I will end up getting to that part much sooner because we know that that's coming already. So it loses some of the punch. I can't just do the same old things to scare people this time.
No,
that's the tricky part. It has to evolve.
Yeah. Hopefully everyone will have at least, you know, gone to see their therapist to deal with some of the nightmares that you invoked with the last season. And, you know,
right.
Be...
Take some time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Clear your mind and your heart. Get everything squared away.
So, well, thank you very much for the nightmares that I'm sure that season 2 is going to cause me. Just getting back to the Symphony of Legends, what from the program are you most looking forward to?
There's a lot of new stuff this year. I think that the Heavy Rain themes, they're going to be performed at the world premiere. I'm really excited to hear that. And there's stuff from last year as well, which was amazing to hear live. The Skyrim theme with the chorus was really... I did not anticipate how emotional, how moving it is to hear this music performed in a room with 5,000 other people. Typically, when you hear this music, you're alone, you're at home, and it's a very private, it's a very personal thing. And then all of a sudden, it's being performed in front of you live. It's an exciting moment, and I wanted to come back for more.
Excellent, excellent. Well, it looks like it's going to be an amazing show. So Symphony of Legends is going to be performed by the Queensland Symphony Orchestra on the 23rd of November in Brisbane. And tickets are available at qso.com.au, I believe. Christopher Straub, thank you very much for your time.
A pleasure.
And we look forward to seeing you hosting Symphony of Legends next month.
I assume that I will do an incredible job.
We will hold you to that.
Welcome back to Zed Games. Lee, you've been playing Batman Arkham Origins, and you've had a go of it as well, right?
Yeah,
right?
I had a quick go of the PS3 version, only a few hours in, but Lee spent much more time with it than I.
That's true. I have been wrapped in cloak and cowl for much of the weekend, enjoying Batman Arkham Origins, which is the third game in the Arkham series. The first one, Arkham Asylum, was kind of the game that resurrected the idea of superhero games being something that could work. It had, you know, it broke a long spell of terrible games, and it was, you know, a really tightly designed sort of Metroidvania kind of thing, mixed with a little bit of Legend of Zelda, but where you played Batman set in Arkham Asylum. And this new one follows the trend set by the last game, where you're in Gotham City. You have access to much of the landscape there, and you spend your time shooting around the rooftops and dangling, you know, from gargoyles and beating up thugs who probably have only committed minor offences, but they've got a busted face now. God damn it.
For loitering in Gotham.
Yeah, exactly. It's nighttime. Go inside, or else you're obviously a criminal.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yes. I was a bit worried about this title because Rocksteady, who developed the first two games in the series, did not return for this game. This is a new developer, right?
Yes, yes. This is by Warner Brothers Games Montreal, who previously they were the team that brought Arkham City to the Wii U, so they know their way around making a Batman game, but this is their first time that they've been actually in the developer seat.
Yep.
And you can see in this game that, you know, they're very much working with what they know. Arkham Origins is very, very much set in the mold of the previous game, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, because the previous game was great. You were Batman in Gotham City, and that by itself, as a description, is better than, I would say, at least 85% of the games on the market. So they have successfully done that, but I think a lot of people were kind of worried that a new team might not be able to innovate in the way that Rocksteady had in the past, and I think that some of those fears have definitely kind of proven themselves out, because it doesn't stray particularly far from the formula that had been set. That said, it hasn't really made any mistakes that are too egregious.
Yep.
So how much of Gotham does it actually let you play with? Because Arkham City really only gave you one suburb with a wall around it and only criminals in it.
Yeah, so this is larger. There are more suburbs there, and there's a bridge that you have to traverse to get from one set of town to the other. But it's not a particularly big open world, and it's not exactly, you know, stuffed with things to do, which is quite unfortunate. And the other problem with it is it's set... This is a prequel game, so it's set Christmas Eve some years before the previous two games, and it's got a younger, less polished Batman. It's kind of... I realized this morning that this is actually the greatest gift that Batman could possibly receive, because he's got one night where eight assassins are out to kill him, and he meets all of his entire... pretty much his entire, you know, cast of arch enemies all in the same night, which a little bit far-fetched, but the perfect gift for the crazed vigilante who has everything except more people to punch in the face.
Yeah. So it's kind of like 24 meets Batman?
Yeah, it is. So, you know, like, this is the first night, there's a breakout in the jail, and he encounters Killer Croc, and then he encounters, like, everyone else that he's ever interacted with, all on Christmas Eve, all for the first time. You know, that's kind of a stretch, but I'm willing to look past that.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Lee. I'm only a few hours into the game, but this, you said it stars an unrefined Batman in his formative years.
Yeah.
from what I've seen, he's got all the same gadgets. He's as good a fighter. He's like, the Batcave is fully fleshed out.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems like he's been, from my impressions, like he's been in the game a long time at this point.
He doesn't yet have the Batmobile. The Batmobile is...
he's got his bat... What's that flying thing?
Wing.
The Batwing? He's got a Batwing, but he doesn't have a Batmobile?
Yeah.
Are you crazy?
Yeah, there's the shell of a car in construction in the Batcave, but he has a bat-themed plane that you rely on quite a bit. So they haven't really thought out this whole prequel thing particularly well. He does have pretty much all of the tools that he did at the end of the last game, which gave you more tools than you had in the first game. So there's, I guess at some point Batman went, no, having all of these cool things made it a little too easy to be Batman. I'm going to put away this super fancy double extendo grappling hook.
So kind of like, have the line launcher?
Yeah, yes, you have that.
Oh, you got to have the line launcher.
Well, but wasn't the setup for the previous two games both that you started out with nothing? Like the first game, you're surprised. You think you've already defeated the Joker.
Yeah.
And in the second game, you have to, you know, go in undercover as Bruce Wayne, so you don't have your gear.
Yeah.
This one, like, starts you out, like, with the Batcave, though. Kind of makes sense, though, if you're prepared this time.
Yeah, this is the first time that... Yeah, so you know what? That's right. That's a good point. You have completely undone my argument, and I'm going home.
But you do also have gloves that can electrocute people now, right?
Yeah, he's got electrocution gloves, and he's got smoke pellets, which he didn't have at all the previous... he had the last one, but they're more useful. He's got, like, concussion grenades and all kinds of things here.
Wow.
Yep. Yeah, it's really cribbing from the previous game, which is perfectly fine. But one thing that it's taken that I don't think makes any sense at all is that this is just Gotham on Christmas Eve, but the only people who are out and about, even though it's a blizzard, so, you know, that's something that would keep people off the streets.
Yep.
The only people on the streets are either corrupt SWAT guys or criminals who are all wearing masks on their head indicating their gang allegiance. Like,
yeah.
There are no civilians in Gotham City at all.
That's one thing I noticed pretty early on, and it makes the city feel a bit lonely. I mean, I know that being Batman is supposed to be a bit lonely, but I've really felt like the city itself, it was just occupied by goons and villains.
Yeah.
And that maybe a few civilians here or there would make it feel like an actual city instead of just
a game and play. Yeah. I mean, if Batman were the custodian of a city that was only full of goons, he probably wouldn't go out patrolling for crime at night. He would just, I don't know, put a wall around it and mustard gas it. I don't know.
Mustard gas it. Well, that's a bit extreme even for Batman.
Well, it's an early Batman. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't... There's not that many opportunities where you're actually protecting people, which I think is, you know, that's actually at the core of Batman, is that he is trying to prevent crime from happening to other people, generally via, you know, a fist to the face.
We talked about how this is an origin story.
Yes.
Do we get to see much of Batman encountering foes for the first time, or even his origin at the hands of the brutal killer that killed his parents?
No, you don't actually see the, you know, you don't play through as very, very young Bruce Wayne as he watches the, you know, pearl necklace shatter, you know, in front of his eyes. But you do get to be Batman as he encounters many of his foes for the first time. So the story involves a breakout in Blackgate Prison and the villainous Black Mask, who is a Batman villain who's not really been in a video game before, which is pretty cool, has placed a bounty on Batman's head, $50 million to kill the Bat. And 8 assassins have been hired to track him down. Some of them are more well-known than others. Deathstroke plays a prominent role, as well as... Who else is in there?
There's Bane.
Bane is in there.
Yep.
Yes. There
is... Deadshot's in there.
Deadshot, yep.
Lady Shiva.
Lady Shiva, very
Copperhead.
Good. Copperhead, keep going.
Uh-oh.
Fire Moth...
Firefly.
That's it.
The Electrocutioner?
Yes.
That is the worst name.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really bad name.
Yeah.
That guy lost the lottery of bad guy names.
Yeah. So some of them are more exciting than others. There's a little bit of a B-list flavor to many of those entries. But, you know, maybe Two-Face had already been taken. So, so there's an emphasis for this game on encountering these assassins, and each assassin is kind of a boss fight that teaches you how to master one of the major components of the gameplay. So I can tell you that the Deathstrike fight happens fairly early into the piece, and that one is all about being able to counter things, which if you've played any of these Batman games, you know that Batman is all about grabbing someone's fist as it's coming towards you and using that fist to punch them in their own face. It's a very fun combat system, and one that, frankly, I would like every game ever to have. The Batman games are super, super fun.
You solve crimes in this one, right? You actually do get to do stuff other than punching?
There's a detective mode. I think that the detective mode was better in Arkham Asylum. I think in this one, it looks really cool. Basically, what happens, you go into the room where a crime has occurred, and you start looking around for clues. When you see enough clues, you kind of get this recreation of the crime scene that you can then fast forward and rewind through, but all you're really doing is just watching a cut scene go back and forwards until you find a red line that you then have to go and follow until you find a new piece of evidence.
Yeah, but I thought it was pretty cool anyway.
It's a cool way to make that kind of exposition interactive, and it did a very good job of delivering that storyline stuff. But it's not exactly. It's not gameplay. Yeah.
But it makes you feel more like a high-tech detective, which is what Batman is sometimes.
Yes. Yeah. In the end, it's not as good a game as the previous ones. There are no real surprises here. And the things that work about this game are things that worked in the previous games. But that said, you know, there are very few games where you get to be Batman on the market, and maybe you've already finished those other two really good Batman games and you want to play a third Batman game. This is the Batman game that you should get. It's great to show off to people. Look at this. Yep. When you punch a guy and he lands in the snow, he leaves a trail.
Made a snow angel.
He did. I hit a guy as I was grappling up to the top of a building and punched him on the way through the air. And when he landed, his arms and legs just spread out ever so slightly. And he made a perfect snow angel. It was beautiful.
Shouldn't it be a snow bat?
No. Because Batman wasn't the one who did it.
Okay.
That's fine.
Yep, sorry about that.
Yeah.
All right, that's Batman Arkham Origins. Available for the PC, PS3, 360, and Wii U.
Yes, yep. Indeed.
That wraps it up for this episode of Zed Games. Next week on the program, we've got a very special interview with Austin Wintory, the acclaimed composer of the Journey soundtrack. So make sure you catch the show then. Catch you guys next week.
Thanks for listening. This has been Zed Games, recorded live in Brisbane on 4ZZZ and heard nationally thanks to the Community Radio Network. For more information on the show and to join the Zed Games community, head to our website, zedgamesau.net. That's spelt Z-E-D, or send us an email at contact@zedgamesau.net. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Zed Games is produced with the assistance of the Community Broadcasting Foundation.